Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Good morning, sports fans. You're listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am the one, the only JP, coming to you live from Grand Junction on the western slope of Colorado, home of the Colorado Mesa University Mavericks. We had a late night of a lacrosse, so we're pounding away here in the morning, getting on to the show. I want to welcome in my co-host, the one, the only Mr. West Coast himself, Mark Fiore. Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm impressed that they have internet and power out in Grand Junction these days, so that's a big step up, and congratulations to the Grand Junction folk. And, you know, it's a gorgeous day. It looks like we are heading straight into summer here. The temperatures are rising quickly.
Yes, they are. We're actually the Colorado Mesa University got us some credentials to go over to the baseball game at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. Mark, now, you have a special thing. We're only going to be on for an hour and a half today. Mark, you have something going on this afternoon. Why don't you fill us in on that?
Yeah, we do want to let everybody know. So this weekend is the Denver March of Dimes Walk. A lot of people are gathering together. They're going to walk through the city park, right next to the city park golf course and the zoo. If you want to go there, they're still sending people in. You can walk and earn money for the charity. March of Dimes, if you don't know, is a charity that basically gives medical assistance to prematurely born babies. So it's a really good cause. We're having a big event. I'm going to be working one of the booths down there. So if you want to come down and get some free sample neonatal vitamins or diaper rash spray, things like that, they'll be handing out lots of freebies. And if you want to make a donation, feel free to go to our page on Facebook. If you go there, the second link down from the show has the March of Dimes link that we're using for donations. So feel free to go there and make a donation if the spirit moves you.
We also want to bring into the desk our good friend, the South Dakota kid, Mr. Nate D-O-double-G Dog himself. Nate, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks a lot for having me on again. Yeah, Mark mentioned the weather yesterday. It was unbelievable. What a night last night. Great night to sit out, drink a beer on a porch or rooftop deck somewhere. Good to be in Colorado, guys.
Definitely. Let's get right to it. Let's jump into the UFC and what's going on with Conor McGregor. Guys, he basically decided not to fly in from Ireland to do a promotion that he was required to do with Dana White of the UFC, and Dana pulled him from the card. What's our thoughts on this?
Well, this is crazy. I mean, he just recently got signed on to the UFC. He's making some crazy big money. Everybody, you know, enjoys the character and the antics that he has. And there was going to be a huge rematch with him and Diaz. What was a pretty stunning first fight. And I think everybody's looking to see a rematch. But he just didn't want to apparently interrupt his training. I mean, you tell me, would either one of you be willing to pass up millions of dollars to not take a two-day break in your training regimen?
Well, it depends, Mark. You know, if you're scared of getting your ass beat for next time, maybe that's his excuse. You know, who knows with that guy. He's such a colorful individual. He might be, you know, who knows what he's got on his mind, but he's, you know, to me, I wouldn't be giving up that much money. I would do it out, you know. Every job has something you don't want to do, you know, and this is it for him. And, I mean, to me, the millions of dollars are, you know, speak volumes. I wouldn't be pissing off my promoters.
Most people that have jobs where they have something they don't like, you know, we certainly aren't getting paid millions of dollars to deal with it. And sitting in front of a group of cameras and getting attention is hardly – the worst thing in the world. Now, JP, he came out on Twitter and
I've got the tweet
made
here.
An announcement of retirement. What do you think?
Well, he announced retirement, then he said he was not retiring, And this is the Twitter from, I think this was last night, actually. Now, he said he's been training hard for this fight just because he did jump up two weight classes to fight Diaz. This is what he tweeted last night. Besides, we all know he's training hard in Ireland. That's where he's from. That's where he trains. This is a tweet. Everyone flew in, respect, but not everyone up there made the company $400 million in 8 months. And he's got 37, almost 38,000 likes and 23,000 retweets on it. I actually like that tweet. You know, he's got a point there. You know, there's some things going into a fight that if you are training, you don't need to be there until right at the last second, because this is box office. If he's not fighting Nate Diaz, is anyone going to buy that fight?
That's a great question, and it's kind of like with Pacquiao, right? I mean, Pacquiao had that fight against, I can't remember who it was last week. I watched the replay on Showtime, but you know, you didn't really care. I didn't know who the other boxer was. I mean, you know, Pacquiao won a unanimous decision, but it was pretty boring. So that does make a big difference in who you're fighting. You know, Pacquiao versus Mayweather, I wouldn't pay for that fight again, but I'd sure watch it on replay to see what happened the second time, because big names versus big names, right? I mean, we all used to watch WWF. Was there a bigger fight than Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant? I don't think there ever was.
Exactly.
So
the slam heard around the world.
The matchups do matter. Yeah, I mean, the matchups do matter. So, but I just wonder what – do you think possibly – and I don't know, I have no actual data of this or information on this or you know, to reinforce it, but is it possible – that with what McGregor was saying about the amount of money you've made them, is this a ploy or an antic to say, I need to be paid more because I'm making you the most of your money?
Nate, you want to field that one?
I mean, I think that's probably part of it, Mark. He, you know, once the greed is has taken place, then he's ready to get more money. So, you know, I think he's, like I said, he's a colorful character. I think it's all about the money, man. You follow the money, it gives you the answers. So,
I think he's making a power play on Dana White here, saying, you know what, I'm your box office. Go ahead and do this fight without me and see what happens. You're not going to sell anything.
Is.
And I think,
he's the biggest draw, right?
He's going to be on the card. It's just like, do we want to see Ronda Rousey fight Miesha Tate, who she's already beat two or three times now? Or do we want to see her beat Holly Holm? We want to see the Holly Holm rematch.
Now, is Rousey still the champion, or did she lose her belt?
She lost her belt. It was Holly Holm's belt, and then Miesha Tate, who beat
Rousey. Does Holly Holm still have the belt is what I meant. I'm sorry.
No. She got beat by Miesha Tate 3 weeks ago, and Miesha Tate, who lost Rousey at least twice, now has the belt. So now it's going to be Rousey versus Tate, I think, in November is when they are scheduled to do that one.
So it's kind of like a Buster Douglas situation. You've got a champion who isn't really charismatic. Not to say she's not a good fighter, not to take away from what she accomplished. But that's not the point, right? The point is entertainment value. The point is driving sales. The point is driving revenue. And, you know, you got to wonder if, you know, at some point if the UFC might have to start doing a little WWF-type action in terms of deciding who's going to win fights to make sure they keep viewership up. I mean, I don't think they would do that, but you never know. When big money is involved, weird things can happen. So but I know we only have a little bit of a shorter show today. Do you guys want to jump right into the NFL here? We've got some big news.
We've got big, 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 big news. Yeah, let's jump right into it. Where do we want to start on this one, guys? This is an interesting week leading up to the draft.
Let's save the really tasty morsels for the end of the NFL. So number one is the Panthers did something that I don't think I've ever seen happen before. So they extended the franchise tag to Josh Norman. He wouldn't sign it, or he hadn't signed it yet, which is not that crazy. I mean, Von Miller hasn't signed his deal yet. But anyway, the Panthers pulled the deal back, and now the Redskins, of course the Redskins, right, because the Redskins make dumb contracts.
Right.
Yeah. They signed $75 million for a 29-year-old cornerback. I mean, do you really think that this guy's going to have that kind of value? What's that?
That guy's 29.
29 years old.
Wow.
And Chris Harris of the Broncos has actually stated that he thinks that Josh Norman was basically a one-year wonder, that he doesn't think he's actually that good of a player, that he was more of a product of his system than anything else. Now, that's a pretty big charge to level on somebody, but he is 29. He never had a good year. I mean, he had good years, but he didn't have a great year until his last year. But, I mean, even if the contract is like most contracts in the NFL where you can cut the player after a couple of years and you don't take any dead money hits on it and it's not guaranteed, but, you know, isn't it risky to be giving that kind of a contract to a guy that old in a speed position? I mean, JP, is that crazy?
Enter the Redskins.
Yeah.
How many times have we seen this, guys? How many times? All the way back to LeVar Arrington. You know, I mean, they're the kings of the one-year wonder. They always sign some guy that has a big year, and, you know, what's his name? What's the owner's name? Snyder.
Mr. I hate all Native Americans, Mr. Snyder there.
Yeah, he's just an idiot. So I agree with Mark and Chris Harris. I think the guy is a one-year wonder and is a product of his system in Carolina. I don't think he's nearly the player that he looked like last year. But, I mean, it remains to be seen. Maybe the Redskins got themselves a good player, but they are definitely paying for it. So that's
they
a
are
lot of money
for it.
An older quarterback.
And it's,
yeah.
It's $50 million guaranteed. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Guaranteed money.
Dan Snyder must have enough money to just, like, heat his home with $100 bills or something, because he throws away ungodly amounts of money for a team that is not usually very competitive. You know, I mean, they were okay last year. But let's be honest, the NFC East was a complete joke last year. That was the worst division I've seen in a long time. So,
yeah.
Not like they were that great. So, I just don't – I mean, you know, good. I'm good for Josh Norman. I mean, I'm happy for him. Take him to the cleaners. I don't care. I don't have any problems with rich people getting soaked. But it's just, boy, dumb deals. But I guess a good agent's a good agent, right? I mean, get your big money.
He dropped the agent that didn't want to do the franchise tag and picked up another agent. And the talk yesterday morning – was that they might try to repitch to the Panthers for a little less money than the $5 million or the $75 million. Go ahead.
I saw just a brief press conference with the GM for Carolina, and he said the door is not closed on Josh Norman after they rescinded the tag. So Washington just swooped in and picked him up.
They did. They showed him the money.
Classic Redskin move. So I think the best move the Redskins have made in the last, 5 years is probably drafting Kirk Cousins. I mean,
I think
yeah,
right on that one, actually.
We all know that Mike Shanahan wanted Kirk Cousins. He didn't want RG3. That was a Dan Snyder move. And I'm always baffled when an owner says, with a first round pick, I want you to take this dude to get us a splash, because it's like, don't you want your splash to be a good team? Don't you want your splash to be competition? And it's amazing to think there are, I don't know how much revenue is made off of jersey sales or how many tickets are sold by a splashy move, but it must be significant, because we see teams do this a lot. I mean, we saw the Titans do it with Vince Young, and they forced Jeff Fisher to draft that train wreck. And we've seen it with Johnny Manziel. We see it with, RG3, we see it all over the place. So it must have some effect. Now,
I don't know if it's necessarily direct money sales, Mark, as much as it is promotion, to give them that name. Hey, look who we got, And
right,
but that
is the end goal.
It's
to sell revenue.
Of course. They want to bring in people. And I agree with that. But I think it is more of a, like, hey, look what we got kind of thing than it is, you know, come and watch football or come and buy our jerseys. I mean, I'm sure that's part of it. It is a large part of it, but
And you're going to get, you know, your sponsorship money. All right, we brought in the best player in the draft, our most exciting player in college football, won the Heisman Trophy, and your sponsorship dollars went through the roof of people sponsoring the team, buying ad space around the stadium. You know, you could go every which way with it. You know, RG3 this, RG3 that. Everybody wants a piece of FedEx Field, and the money just keeps coming through the door if you do that.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And, you know, talking about guys dropping agents and draft picks up by the ownership, got to talk a little bit about Johnny Manziel, what's going on there, because this is kind of crazy. So that he basically had Drew Rosenthal, which, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that was Terrell Owens' agent during his whole chaotic thing.
Yep,
and
he was.
Yeah, so he told Johnny Manziel he had to get into, like, rehab or something, or he wasn't going to represent him anymore, and now he's not representing him. And no one knows if Johnny's going to play football anymore. Now, Johnny Manziel was taken with a 22nd pick in that year's draft. I can't remember how many times it is. I think it's four. That the Cleveland Browns have taken four times with the number 22 pick in the first round, a quarterback who was terrible. It took Manziel 2 years before that. 22nd pick, they took Whedon. A couple of years before that, 22nd pick, they took Brady Quinn. And then a few years before that, I think they took McNown or something. It was just, I can't remember who he was exactly, but that's a crazy
all the way back. All the way back to Tim Couch.
Tim Couch, yeah.
That's right.
I mean, I think he was either a number one or two, I think. But, yeah, that's
so, yeah,
now,
that's some really cool picks.
Yeah, now we know, you guys know who, do you guys know who Paul DePodesta is? That he's the new general manager, basically. I don't know if you guys all follow baseball enough. He's the guy who was played by Jonah Hill in the movie Moneyball. I mean, that was like a three-person character. It wasn't just one guy, but that was the central character, was Paul DePodesta. And he's a Harvard-educated economist who's big on sabermetrics. He was one of the first people to make that happen. He kind of taught Theo Epstein, who became the GM for, you know, the Boston Red Sox and now the Cubs. He is now the GM for the Browns. He's trying to bring sabermetrics to football. And, you know, God bless the Cleveland Browns. Right? They got to try something. They've been terrible for so long. And I'm very curious to see what they do this year in terms of what they've picked up. And that kind of leads us into one of our biggest stories, right, which is there were two big trades made.
Before we get to the blockbuster trade, let's take a quick commercial break here, reset ourselves, because we got some really big, you know, we have a lot to talk about these two trades. So, Mark, you're going to do the Mark and Dimes walk again today. What do you do? What are you going to do to get your energy level up to do the walks today?
You know, you can always head over to ekfit.net. You can check them out on Facebook. They're going to make sure that you get those meal replacement shakes, those energy shakes, the protein, and they're also going to get you on a great exercise program. Make sure that you've got that beach body ready for this summer. It's right around the corner, so contact them quickly. Make sure that you're eating right. Make sure that you're getting the right kind of exercise program so that you're ready when the summer months hit in about 3 or 4 weeks. Again, it's ekfit.net, and you can also check them out on Facebook.
And we also would like to thank Sage Media for being one of our sponsors for websites, graphic design, social media, and much, much more. Sage Media will build and manage your company brand. In fact, they designed our own sports offensive logo. Contact Kyle over at sagemediallc.com. That's sagemediallc.com. We're going to be back talking about the Eagles and the Rams right after this quick commercial break. You're listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark on Blog Talk Radio.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course!
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We are back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am the one and the only JP. We also have Mr. West Coast Mark Foray on the line and Mr. the South Dakota Kid, Nate D-O-double-G Dog. Let's get into the Rams first, guys. They made the first trade. They get the number one overall pick in this year's draft. Let's start there.
Well, let's start with what they're getting. So the Rams are getting, I believe, the number one overall pick, the fourth round pick, number 113, and the sixth round pick, 177 from the Titans. Is that right?
That
I
is
thought
correct.
There was two second rounders, too.
Is well, that's what the Rams are getting, not what the Titans are getting.
Oh, got it.
The Titans are going to get the 15th overall pick. First round, 2 seconds, 43 and 45.
Yeah.
Third round pick at 76. And the first and a third in 2017 is what the Titans are getting. Now, that is great for the Titans. They got the quarterback. They won it last year. And now they get to stockpile their picks. And basically, what we're looking at is a year of the quarterback in this draft. And next year, it's going to be very quarterback weak. It's going to be a draft where quarterbacks are few and far between, so teams are making the moves to get into this, including my own Philadelphia Eagles, traded for the number two pick. Now, I'm going to scratch this first comment here about Chip Kelly there, Mr. Marcus, but the Eagles get the second overall pick. The Browns get the overall eighth pick, which this is great for the Browns organization. Now, granted, they don't have a quarterback yet. Well, they have RG3, but that's RG who? I mean, there's a big question mark on the three end of that. They get a third round pick, which is the 77th. The fourth round picks are with 100. First round in 2017 and the second in 2018. So now we have to look at it. Our two big guys on the board are Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. Guys, what do you think that the Rams and the Eagles are thinking here? The Eagles have to play second fiddle, basically, to the Rams, because the Rams are in the driver's seat here with the number one pick. So they get to take who they want.
Absolutely. I think, on just a quick side note, guys, you look at the teams in the past 10, 15 years that have had success in the NFL draft, and they have an identity. Talking about teams like Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers, the Seattle Seahawks, and they have that identity. Look at teams like Cleveland. You know, I think DePodesta is trying to get this team an identity. It seems like, you know, they dive into one thing for a year or two, and then there's a new GM and coach in place. So hopefully he's trying to get, you know, some sort of identity for this team with these picks. I really think it's a great move for Tennessee and a great move for not the Eagles, but for Cleveland. I think the Eagles, I'm kind of baffled, to be honest, JP.
Let's start with the Rams first, because it's going to be the first pick. So let's try and separate these two stations, because they
sure.
are different.
No, I think,
so with
I
the
think
Rams and Titans, you know, this is one of the few times I've seen a high-level trade in the draft that I think is a slam dunk for both sides. Well, a few years ago, traded away RG3, or the pick for RG3, to the Redskins for a boatload of picks. They took these picks. They built a very good team. Don't be mistaken, because they don't win a ton of games, the core of this team is very strong. They have a good defense. They have a very good running game now with Gurley, as long as he can stay healthy. They've got a strong offensive line, a strong defensive line, strong defense, period. And they've got some decent playmakers in the skill positions on offense. Now, they're not a great team because they don't have a captain. They don't have a leader for it. And so this is what they need. They need a leader. And this way they can pick whoever they want and hope, right? I mean, sometimes you got to just throw, you know, you got to throw caution to the wind and say, well, we're going to take a shot and try and do something with what we have before we start losing guys to free agency. And it also makes sense to me for the Titans because, like you, one of you said earlier, they got Mariota last year. They've got their QB. Now they need to build a team. Now they got a whole bunch of picks. They're going to get in what is considered a very deep draft. They're going to have an early pick to get a good offensive lineman to help out Mariota with the sacks because he had so many last year. They're going to get 2 second-round picks, 43 and 45, right next to each other almost. And this is one of the deepest defensive line drafts in a long time. They're going to shore up their defensive line, and they're going to be able to use the third-round pick for their secondary, and then they're going to get a first and a third next year, which is going to be a good defensive draft too. So I think this is like the best trade I've ever seen done by two teams that, you know, are trading a high pick for a lot of draft picks. That's just my take on the Titan trade, but I think this is the best one I've seen in a long time. So go ahead. Now, what do you guys think about that trade? JP, go first.
Go ahead, JP.
You know, I love the trade. You know, the Rams, going back to L.A., I think they're going to take Goff just because he's the Cal kid. You know, the California kid out there, they're going to want to bring in somebody that the California fan base and the LA fan base knows a lot about. And I think they take off in this whole deal. You know, he's 6'3", about 215, 2 1/4, 210. His downside is they say is a 9-inch wingspan on his hands is what they say is the only downside to him. I think it's great for both teams. The Titans got their guy, and they're going to build around everything. They've got the picks to do it now. The Rams need to get a quarterback. Obviously, they had to do it. So, I mean, I love the trade.
Nate, yeah, I think it's a good trade for both teams as well. And I agree. I think Goff is the guy. One advantage, I think, of Jared Goff is I believe he's 2 years younger, at least a year and a half younger than Wentz. So I think that gives him time to, you know, to sit on the bench at least for half a year behind I can't remember who the starter is. But the starter.
For the Rams, it was Foles, wasn't it?
It's Keenum, yeah,
Yeah, Foles got benched.
I think it's
Keenum.
Yeah. So, you know, I think he probably gets the nod to start the year. And I think Goff needs to sit for at least half the year. To me, I'm not an expert on evaluating quarterbacks, but I don't think either one of these guys is going to be, you know, like the next coming of Aaron Rodgers by any means. But I think it's a great trade for both teams. You know, like you guys said with the Titans, they've got their quarterback. They need to get, you know, some talent around him. That offensive line was brutal last year. So moving down, I know there's not a ton of tackles, but I mean, at number 8, you're going to get a top flight tackle if you want one. They also need somebody in the secondary. You know, I don't know. I don't think Jalen Ramsey is sitting there at 8, but great moves for both teams. I'm excited to see what they do with them.
Yeah, Nate, you were right. I just want to point out real quick, Nate was right. Goff is 21 years old. Wentz is 23 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. He's very young. Yeah, the thing I was going to say is it makes me wonder if the Dallas Cowboys, now I think they're number 3, and if that means that no one's taking that left tackle, I know that they don't really need one. Their offensive line is pretty good, but boy, if they were to take another lineman, I mean, they could have just the most decimating offensive line in the history of football. And
are you talking about the Cowboys?
Never get hit. What's that?
The Cowboys have Because the Cowboys have the fourth pick. And the fourth pick right now, they're going to either go Joey Bosa or Ezekiel Elliott. I guarantee it. You're going to see one of those. And Jerry Jones's ego is going to get the best of him. He should take Bosa, but he's going to probably take Ezekiel Elliott. They're both out of
Bosa. Who's third?
That's way too early for Elliott.
Who's third?
Well, keep going. I'll get that up for you real quick.
Yeah, I think that tackle, Laremy Tunsil, from all the experts are saying that he's the best overall player in the draft. So I guess it depends who's sitting at number three. To me, Mark,
three is the Chargers.
Me, that's a great pick for San Diego. They could really use a stalwart at left tackle. But to me, for the Cowboys, yes, they do have a really good line. But at some point, you got to say to yourself, I don't want to pay a guy money to sit on the bench. You know, I don't care how much depth and talent you can stockpile at one position. I mean, you don't want to pay a number four pick to sit on the bench if you've already got a killer line. Or if you've already got another tackle, I don't know, man. I mean, that's a lot of money locked up on your bench.
You install another position on the line, like right tackle, and move him to guard. And then you've got a guy who can move outside if you need to. And I'm just saying, because you got to take, when you're up that high, it's just like fantasy sports. You don't want to screw it up. You don't want to make a pick that doesn't pan out, because then you've lost massive currency. You might as well have traded the pick away. If the Cowboys end up taking Ezekiel Elliott, I would just laugh. Not that he's not a good player, not that he can't be a good running back. He's not a top five pick. He's not that good. And at least he hasn't shown himself to be that good.
Well, they're comparing him to Emmitt Smith.
My concern is this, okay? So just for example, let's look at like the wide receiver position. You know, if you have two really good wide receivers and then you draft a third, you know, I guess maybe receiver's not the best example because now we use three. But, you know, hypothetically, you have that guy, either A, he's not good enough to crack the starting lineup, and you drafted him with the third pick, and your other guys are signed for 3 years. I mean, you've got a guy on your bench making a bunch of money, or vice versa. He is good enough to take over, and then you've got one of those other guys that's making a shitload of money, and they're sitting on your bench. I mean, there's only so much money to go around, and I agree.
Yeah, but
stockpiling
talent. Don't forget that they did change the rules on rookie contracts.
Sure. And
they're
that,
all 3 years.
And that,
they're lower money.
That's true. I do know that. And that is, you know, I guess it's more palatable to me that, okay, this kid is going to sit for a couple years because he's only making $1.5 million or $2.5 million or whatever. Yeah, it's not as bad as it used to be. But the fear
You know how injuries go. Injuries pop up all the time, especially those big guys. And I'm not saying that they – see, the Cowboys should be trading down. The Cowboys are bereft enough of talent that they should be trading down and stockpiling picks, especially in a year like this when you know the defense is just stacked in the draft. And you should be saying, I want 3 second-round and 3 third-round picks because I'm going to get all starters out of those 6 players, and I don't need a first-round pick. And I don't think it's weird is that on the drafting or the scouting list, the top 10 players, all but like one or all except for that except for the tackle Tunsil and Ezekiel Elliott, the top 10 are all defense. I mean, Wentz and Goff are like 12 and 13 or 13 and 14 in terms of scouting overall the best players. But it does show you because, you know, JP, I think it was you that said about the small, even to the smaller hands with Goff, I think that matters. Because it does affect accuracy, especially in the NFL. And then, but the other thing about them taking Goff without being the hometown guy, I think that's absolutely probably what they're going to do because they do need something. They do need to make a splash because they're moving to LA and they've got a lot of competition to get viewership because there's a lot of stuff to do in LA. So I could still,
exactly.
I could totally see them saying Goff, taking Goff. But I agree, Nate. I don't think either one of these guys are transcendent people in terms of quarterbacks. But, you know, you see what happened to the Broncos. They couldn't keep Osweiler and Manning retired, and now they're scrambling to find a starter. Now, I personally think it's okay to go with Mark Sanchez. I think he's the best of what's available. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people are freaking out. They still are trying to find a way to get Kaepernick, which I can't figure out because he's a train wreck and a joke. But they still want him because they're so desperate at that position. So,
well,
maybe they
will. Said the word. It's a quarterback desperate league, Mark. So
yeah, it is.
I mean, you couldn't have hit the nail on the head anymore. I mean, everybody has, you know, you've got to have a quarterback. And I think the Rams are a great example of that. With the RG3 trade a couple of years back, they traded, you know, or they got the house from Washington for that number two pick. And, yeah, they've stockpiled a ton of talent, like you said. They're good at every position, but they're not good at quarterback. I don't think they've won more than 8 games in the last 4 years since the trade.
No, but you got to say, they've got the infrastructure now, you know? They've got the infrastructure.
No, I agree, but I'm just saying how important is quarterback, you know? I mean,
it is, and you've got to leave where there aren't that many good quarterbacks. I mean, of the 32 starters, about 20 of them are legit starters and 15 are really good. And that's the problem.
I'd say 12.
It could be less.
I would.
I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah,
if we're going to go through the league, who do we really think are the good quarterbacks? I mean, obviously Tom Brady's probably number one, right? Now, we know, not going in any actual order, but we know Ben Roethlisberger is a winner, right, because he's won Super Bowls. We know Russell Wilson's got some serious talent. We know Aaron Rodgers is a hell of a quarterback. We know Eli still has a good talent. We know that Cam Newton is obviously a good quarterback. No matter how many people wanted to hate on him, the guy is just good.
You put Drew Brees in that category?
I think he's still good, but he just doesn't have the weapon, so it's hard to say anymore. And then
now remember,
you've got Philip Rivers, maybe, Derek Carr. Stafford, I think
Matt
is not.
Stafford.
I don't think Stafford's any good, but, you know, I mean, yeah, how many of them? Do you see what I mean? Like, we're not really talking about people who are jumping off the page.
That's
you
what
know?
I'm saying. So there's really only 10 or 12 guys out there that are great. And I think, you know, in a quarterback desperate league, that's why you're seeing moves like this. You know, you have two guys that aren't transcendent talent, but that they're freaking giving up their future, you know, betting that one of these two guys is going to be, you know, one of the next Andrew Luck, you know.
Now, I will throw out one reason why I think Wentz might be the number one pick, and that is, I don't read ESPN magazine very often because it's not a very well-done magazine, but I get it for free, so I did read it this past week. And they had an article on Wentz, and it was very interesting. This guy is a Boy Scout. I mean, he is the prototypical – he's almost like Tebow in terms of he and his girlfriend won't live together until they're married, still with the same girl since he was in, like, junior high. He does a lot of volunteer work, and he does a lot of studying. He got straight A's. He didn't ever party. He doesn't drink. You know, it's like he's a Boy Scout. So that's going to be a big draw. Not that Goff isn't a good guy. I've never heard any bad things about Goff's character. But I'm just saying when you pay that kind of money and you need that kind of the face of your franchise, this is a guy who is not going to get in trouble. This is a guy who's never going to not be taking things seriously. Doesn't mean he'll be successful, but it means that he'll always put in the effort. And I think that might be more important to the Rams. What do you think, JP?
I think the Rams are going for the glitz and the numbers that Goff put up, quite frankly. I would love if the Eagles got Carson Wentz. He's 6'5", 223 pounds. The guy's a winner. He's a model character, and it's exactly what the organization needs right now. I think out in L.A., they want the numbers of the Cal kid. You know, Jared Goff put up the 45 touchdowns. I think that's to 13 interceptions last year. I mean, the guy's been making plays nonstop now for 2 years and just throwing touchdown passes. They just have not had the talent around them to, you know, have that great winning season where they're going to go 10-1.
Now, does it make you nervous at all that he played for such a small school and didn't face high-level defense?
No, because when you look at his ups and his downs, and when you evaluate him at 6'5", he stands tall in the pocket. He throws a very his mechanics remind me not of Peyton Manning's, but of a prototypical pocket passer that stands tall in the pocket. and is very accurate. He will pull at 225 or 223. He will pull the ball down and run if necessary, and he will put his head down.
He's 237.
Oh, wow. They have him listed at 223 right now. Yeah.
No, I heard on the radio yesterday, 237. He also ran a 4.740. So he's a good athlete on top of that.
He's an unbelievable athlete.
He could kind of be like a Steve Young, really.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think he's more polished, you know, being 23 than 21. That's why I think he's a better fit for the Rams, because I think the Rams need somebody now. You know, where Philly can maybe wait a little bit, the Rams are ready to rock. Like, they've got everything else they need, maybe, other than a receiver. But that's, I don't know, I think Wentz is a little bit better fit for them. But, you know, it is intriguing to go with the younger guy as well. And those gaudy numbers on a big team.
I think you're spot on there. The Rams are ready to go. They need to do it now. And, I think Wentz gives them a better chance. But you never know. Let's go on to the next one, because we don't want to spend too much time on the one trade. So before Nate and I get into the analytics and the bolts of it, JP, you're a Philadelphia native. This is your team. And we know out there in our sports listening world, we've got a lot of Philadelphia transplants out here in Colorado and around the country. So I just want to see straight from a fan perspective, not a logistics perspective, from a fan perspective, how do you feel about this move?
I love it. I love it because they need a quarterback of the future. Sam Bradford, he can cry me a river all he wants. He better shut his trap. No. I'm not finished. He better shut his trap. He got paid the last quarterback to get the highest non-capped rookie salary of the number one pick. So he got paid a lot of money. He's played in one-third of his games, which means he's been injured for two-thirds of his games that he has not played in, and he's gotten paid for every single one of those games. So he needs to shut his trap and suck it up and say, you know what, I'm going to go out here, I'm going to play. If Carson Wentz or Jared Goff starts playing better, they're gonna overtake me, and I'm going to get my butt traded because, that's what's going to happen. I have no sympathy.
Well, nobody's treating for that contract, but he might get released.
He wants to be traded, and another sportscaster said, shut up and sit there and take it. You've gotten paid your money.
I didn't hear the question to get traded, but he can't be traded. His contract is massive this year. No one is trading for $14 million or $17 million, whatever it is. No one's trading.
17 or 18, isn't it, JP?
I believe it's 17.
No one's trading for that.
I think the best thing that could happen to the Eagles is that Bradford has a hell of a first half. If he comes out and plays great, that would be a great thing for the Eagles.
Well, the GM said that Bradford is going to be the starter this year, and that's where their starting point. But, JP, we're not done with your fan point perspective. I want to now know, do you think they gave up too much?
Well, do I think they gave up too much? I think they gave up maybe one pick too much in this. Let's look at it overall here.
Well, the Eagles got one pick, and they had to give up picks that they got by trading away other players this year in terms of DeMarco Murray and is his name Kiki Palmer, the linebacker? So they gave away those two players. Got those two picks are included in this deal, which is they're giving the Browns the 8th overall pick, the 77th overall pick, which is in the 3rd round, the 100th overall pick, which is in the 4th round, and then they're giving them a 1st-round pick in 2017 and a 2nd-round pick in 2018. And the Eagles are getting the number 2.
No, I think they gave up one too many picks in that, but, when it comes down to it, when you have to – when you have to get a young quarterback, you have to make a move. And they tried to make the move on Mariota last year. Tennessee wasn't biting. And they made the move this year, and the Browns are biting because you know what? They got RG3, and now they want to fill spots. They've got 10 picks in this draft.
Yeah. Now, here's another follow-up question, which is not the Eagles, but the Browns. Do you think the Browns can turn these picks into a good team, or do the Browns continue to waste their picks that they have for the last 15 years over two franchises.
Okay, I'll take that one first. If RG3 can come out and play decent football and they take decent picks, they can have a decent year. They have brand new leadership up top there. They cleaned house out of the GM spot, brought in a great respectable crew up there. If they make smart picks and RG3 can actually play without getting hurt and it's not RG me, it's RG3, they can pretty much probably put together a pretty decent team that could go 8-8 on this year.
Yeah.
Nate, you want to take that?
Nate, what?
Dave Podesta a lot. I loved him in baseball. I'm interested to see what he can do in football. I think it's going to be interesting to see who those picks become. I do think that Cleveland needs to take some of their top talent, trade it away, and just have another bad year. You know, you've got a Joe Hayden. You've got a Joe Thomas. I mean, you've got some pretty dang good players. Before these guys get too old, I'd get rid of them, and stockpile picks for next year. And that's the route I would go if I was Cleveland. Like I mentioned before, they have to find an organizational identity. It's got to be, whether
that's
it's,
correct.
Running the football or a dominant defense or, run and shoot or whatever, anything. And they have to commit. And that's the other thing. Are the fans going to be patient? Are they going to be patient enough? Because they've been waiting a long time, and it's just been failure after failure. Yeah, and it's just been
they've
failure.
They've been waiting for the Browns to have, like you said, an identity. What do the Rams stand for? Not the Rams, I'm sorry, the Browns. What do the Browns stand for? I have no idea. They were an okay defense a few years ago. A few years before that, they were an okay offense with Braylon Edwards and Jamal Lewis and Derek Anderson. But you're right. There's no identity there. They're not a great defense. They're not a ground and pound. They're not an aerial assault. They're nothing. They've never been anything because they have no strategy that goes from year to year. You nailed it with Joe Thomas. This guy has got 3 years left of being a top flight left tackle. Who needs a tackle? Seattle.
Everybody.
Seattle's dying for offensive line. Well, so backers too, right? Either one of those teams. We want your first, your second, and your fourth. Or we want your first, your third, and your fourth for Joe Thomas. They get it. Because the first-round pick, late in the first round, you're not getting the player as good and ready to go as Thomas would be on your offensive line. So either one of those teams would probably give up that much, if not a little bit less. But they would come up too close to that. Hayden, easy. You send him to the Panthers. They're going to need a cornerback, a shutdown guy now. Or you send him to the Buffalo Bills. Either one of those teams really wants an outside corner that can shut a guy down, get a couple more picks. If Cleveland can take – they fleeced the Eagles. I mean, a lot of friends are Eagles fans. They're not going to like hearing this. The Eagles just made possibly a franchise-dismantling trade. This is one of the worst trades I've ever seen a team make, and this is obvious desperation. They made a big mistake with Kelly by giving him so much power. He traded away all of their talent, and now Philly is so starved for something to be excited about. They just mortgage their future for they don't even know who. They don't know which quarterback they're getting. They're getting the one that the Rams don't take. So if they have a favorite, doesn't really matter because they're getting what falls to them. So they better hope it's the better player. But they gave up their whole next 2 years, basically, or even another 2 years from now a pick. They gave up a ton of early picks especially considering that this draft is a very deep one. They gave up a lot of potential talent for a lot of holes on that team for a quarterback that's going to come in with a bad offensive line, with not much in the receiving core and nothing in the backfield and not a very good defense. And he's going to get destroyed back there if they play him. He's going to take them 4 or 5 years to put a team around him. This is the dumbest trade I've ever seen made, and it's obvious desperation by Lowry to make sure that they get viewership and get their fans excited. And it's working because I've seen a lot of my friends on Facebook cheering and hollering and yelling and screaming, yes, we're going to get a great quarterback. Who cares? You don't have anything else on that team. It's going to take you 3 years minimum. This team is going to be a disaster. And if they start, whoever they get, Goff or Wentz, he's going to get hurt. So So they have to keep Bradford because they have to have somebody else take the punishment of what's going to be a very ugly year.
And here's something that we haven't even mentioned yet with Philadelphia is look how much money they have in the quarterback position right now. It was a 17, 18 million for Bradford. They signed Chase Daniel as a backup for $7 million a year. And now they're going to be taking a number two pick who, I mean, even though he's, you know, the draft, the rules are different now, the guy's still going to make a pretty good amount of money as a quarterback. So
they're going to have their overall budget in one position.
Have 30 plus million locked up at quarterback. Ouch.
Remember that they actually cleared up a lot of cap space too by getting rid of a lot of players that they didn't want on the team that had higher salary.
Yeah, but now they have all these holes in their roster, and they don't have anybody to fill them. They don't have money to hire free agents. They don't have draft picks to get them. How are they going to make a team? This is so short-sighted.
They have money to get it, and when you have a year coming up that's very deprived of quarterbacks, you're basically going to see you have to make a move like this because Bradford is not your answer. Chase Daniels is not your answer. You have to make a move to get one of the either or. These guys both have upsides and downsides. You have to make a move.
They're not waiting in two years. Why waste all of this stuff now? Why not do it in 2 years? Or 3 years when there's another good quarterback crop coming out, and you have a team to put around them. They're just going to waste the next 3 years of this quarterback's career. And they might leave the team for greener pastures because they don't win.
Well, just to play devil's advocate and take the side of the Eagles. So, I mean, first of all, they still have draft picks. It's not like they gave them all away. You know, I mean, they're going to have to be really savvy. And they're going to have to hope they pretty much hit on all of them. You know, I mean, they're going to have to hit on every pick. And they're going to have to pull some starters out of that fourth, fifth, even sixth round. And then they're also, you know, they do have money to spend, like JP said. But they're going to have to, you know, they can't swing and miss in free agency either. You know, they're going to have to make sure they sign the right players. So it comes down to, you know, making the right moves and not making any mistakes. If they don't make any mistakes the next 2 years, then sure. And the quarterback turns out to be, you know, a top 10 guy, then yeah, maybe they can be a great team in 2 years. But boy, man, it doesn't leave much room for error.
It does not.
And they did show up. They did show up their secondary. So I give them credit for that. They did that in the offseason. They helped a very, very bad secondary by signing some corners and find some safeties, and that'll help. But, boy, that receiving core is not good. Ryan Matthews, maybe he's okay. We don't know yet. We haven't really seen anything from him. The rest of it, not good, and at least it's not showing any talent. Reuben Randall brought in, he's not doing anything. They gave up LeSean McCoy. They gave up DeMarco Murray. Now who's in the backfield? Sproles and Ryan Matthews. Well, Ryan Matthews will be good for the 3 to 4 games he plays, and Sproles is good for a change of pace back. So they don't have a running game. They don't have an offensive line. They don't have a good receiving. They do have a good tight end. They don't have much in the way of other receivers. They don't have a good defensive line, and they don't really have good linebackers. That's what I'm saying is that Chip Kelly was so confident in his system that he let go of talent for loyalty, and that doesn't work unless maybe if you're Bill Belichick it works, but you can recognize talent. Kelly doesn't recognize talent that well, and there's holes everywhere, and I like the Eagles. I've always been an Eagles fan all the way back when they had Clyde Simmons and Seth Joyner, and it just pains me to see a team that has so long been so dependent on being smart, being so ridiculously reactionary because of how bad a coach they had. And you know what? The Broncos did the same thing, right? When they had Hurricane McDaniel came in, he decimated the team. He got rid of all their talents. He brought in a bunch of scrubs, although he did draft better than you know, Chip Kelly, let's be honest. But
let me bring up a point quick here. The last time the Eagles did a move like this, you know who they picked at number two?
A great quarterback.
Donovan McNabb is the last time they did a trade like this. And they got
Yeah, I mean, they may not have won a Super Bowl, but boy, they were good for a long time.
They were good. They were good. They came close. They were good. But it, it's a
rebuilding
process for the Eagles, and they got to start with a key piece, which is a quarterback of the future, because they don't have the quarterback of the future on their team right now. And there's not quarterbacks in the league to even say, I can trade for a quarterback of the future. There's just not enough talent.
But you've got Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford's not great, but he can play. And you could use
Sam
these
Bradford,
draft picks to shore up your defense.
And he's gone. He's gone.
Nah,
he's going to be out of there.
No. You could have easily used this draft to completely overhaul your defensive line, and you could have gotten a good linebacker and one offensive lineman. And then next year, you do the same thing, but you do more offensive line and try and get a playmaker on offense.
Again, and Chase Daniels comes in and he doesn't play anything. And he doesn't do anything. And then you look at next year's draft. There's no quarterbacks in next year's draft. So do you wait in two more years down the line?
It makes no difference if you don't have the talent around the quarterback to do anything. What is he going
to
do?
Let's say
Wentz is terrific. What are the odds that they have enough playmakers around him to compete in less than 4 years? One out of ten?
I think it's a 3-year plan. It's a 3-year plan that they have in place right now. They know who they want at the picks that they still have. I guarantee you, I could see if the kid from Arkansas, the running back from Arkansas, is still on the table, they will take him. I'll guarantee you that. And I foresee him taking a defensive lineman. Also, I could see that also. So. I see them filling the hole.
Do they have a second round pick this year still? What's their next pick after that second pick?
They have a second round pick. They gave up a third round pick and a fourth round pick. They have a fifth, sixth, and seventh round pick is what they have.
So only five. They've only got five picks. Wow.
They have nine picks, right? So they have. They have the second overall pick from Cleveland. They've got the number 43 overall pick from St. Louis when they traded for Sam Bradford. They've got the third round. They've got one pick in the third round that they got from Cleveland, right? They traded it to Cleveland, so they don't have that pick
anymore.
They had a 79th overall pick in the third round. Then they the fourth round pick is gone. And then they have two fifth-rounders, a sixth-rounder, and two seventh-rounders.
That's actually not that bad, then. They've still got some picks. Boy, they really need to make sure they
If you're hoping to get your starters out of the fifth and sixth and seventh round,
But
that's what I'm saying is they're taking a big, big risk here. If this quarterback is not basically Andrew Luck or Cam Newton-style ability, then they're in trouble. And it's not just that the quarterback has to be a slam dunk home run pick. It's also that they don't get to pick which one. They take the leftover guy. And they better hope to God the leftover guy is worth that pick, because they may have traded away the farm for a guy they didn't actually want. And like, you know, JP, you're saying, I understand what you're saying about they're desperate for a player. They're desperate for a quarterback. They don't have a good one. They don't see a good one coming down the pipe. This is their last chance to get a fresh new one. But you know what? If you don't have a team around them, you can kiss the next five seasons goodbye. If they don't slam dunk all their draft picks, they're in a lot of trouble. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
it could work out fine. It could work out fine. But
it's gonna play itself out next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah,
and I can't wait.
We should do a show.
Definitely going to be doing a show. Fans, stay tuned for a posting on that show, because we definitely are going to be doing a show on all of it. Let's move on here quick. We can talk about the Eagles all day. Guys, if anyone wants to call in, it's 929-477-3204. That is 929-477-3204. We always like to hear our fans' comments, questions, and or concerns, and or opinions. Because everyone has opinions, and then I'm not going to go with the second half of that phrase. Let's move on to the Broncos real quick here. They're relighting. speaking of opinions in the second phrase, they're relying on the dirty Sanchez right now to be the starting quarterback.
Good segue.
They are looking, I hit one out of the park every now and then. They're looking at Brian Hoyer. Now, guys, come on. Brian Hoyer? I mean, really?
I don't want Brian Hoyer. I don't want him either. I know Alfred William likes him, but I don't want him.
Did you see the playoff game? That's all I got to say.
I'm sorry.
I think the Broncos, you know what? You go defense, you go running game, and you go game management by Sanchez, and you have a team that has a chance to repeat for the title because that defense, if it plays like last year, can win another title. They've got probably one more year out of that defense before they're going to start having trouble in terms of missing pieces. So, you know what? I go with Sanchez. He is the best option out there. Kaepernick is a joke. I still can't believe they're even considering that.
They're not. I don't even think they're. I don't think they're considering it. I think they're just throwing it out there to keep it there.
Did you hear? Kaepernick said that he's willing to take a pay cut of up to $5 million. The Broncos want to take a pay cut of $7 million, and that's the only reason the deal hasn't happened. $2 million.
Well,
if the Broncos will actually have $2 million.
I'm going to give you my my JP prediction on the draft for the Broncos. They are going to take Paxton Lynch or Connor Cook if they're available.
I don't think Lynch is gone. Yeah, no way.
Lynch
there.
Is going to the Browns. So, I think the Broncos probably will take Connor Cook. I think instead what they should do is they should take that linebacker from Notre Dame who got hurt. Got in trouble or whatever it was. I can't remember his name, but he was Mel Kiper's number one guy going into the year. That's what they should take.
He got
the 31st pick.
He blew his knee out.
Oh, that's what it was. It was a knee. I would take him. Let's rock and roll.
Hold on. He is an unknown commodity right now because they don't know if he's ever going to play again.
Take a risk. You might as well.
Yeah, you have to look out at this because they were just talking about this on Mike and Mike the other morning because, you know, they're talking about how bad they feel for this guy that he blew his knee out in the bowl game and how many millions did he lose out on. You know, can he ever be that player again? Now, if he's there in the fifth round, sure, take him.
I would rather the Broncos either went linebacker or defensive line. And short up the one of the two holes they have from losing Trevathan, or losing the guy that went to the Jaguars, like Malik Jackson. I would rather replace him than take a quarterback who we have no idea if they're really any good or not. But you know, question them. They won a Super Bowl, so let them do what they're going to do. You know,
here's the thing:
the Broncos.
They're in the same predicament that the Eagles are in. They don't have the franchise quarterback on their roster right now, and next year there's not going to be another franchise quarterback that's going to even be in the draft. You know, that's how depleted the quarterbacks are going to be next year.
The difference is the Broncos have an actual defense.
they've got two good receivers. But when you're in a quarterback depleted league, if you have that opportunity to maybe get a future franchise quarterback, you have to take it this year. You can't wait to next year or the other year. What happens if Sanchez becomes the ultimate flop this year? You know, now what are you looking at?
The same thing we were last year with Manning. What's the difference?
Yeah, and that's exactly the point I was going to make, Mark, is look what they did last year. Manning was terrible. I mean, other than that Green Bay game,
I've ever seen.
Dude, he was terrible, and they won the Super Bowl.
If Sanchez can come in,
all he's got to do is be a game manager, though, guys. All he's got to do is not turn the ball over. That defense is returning 9 starters. Okay,
I just want him to throw passes over the middle to Emmanuel Sanders or Demaryius Thomas for 7 yards on second down or 5 yards on second down. Run on first and third down and pump the ball whenever we need to and let the defense go to work. I'd be more than happy with that. I mean, imagine they bring in like somewhere like Kaepernick and have that guy throw a pick
and run the ball like every other pass because his first route option was covered, and he can't read his other options. He can't check down. He'll just start running, and they'll just be turning the ball over like crazy in their own zone, and they'll lose a ton of games. No, go with a guy who's a game manager who did it just fine for the Jets until they decided to deplete their team completely with Rex Ryan's horrible drafting. But when they had a good defense and a good running game, Sanchez took them to back-to-back AFC title games. I have no problem with Sanchez, none.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think it's going to be – the Broncos can't go into the season with just two quarterbacks. So they're going to bring – but they're going to bring somebody in, whether they draft somebody in the later rounds or it's Brian Hoyer or Josh McCown. Or some, I mean, they've got to bring in another guy, just at least to compete with Sanchez.
I draft a guy in the third, fourth, or fifth round, you know, like fourth or fifth, really. And then I use my third-round pick on defensive line and linebacker.
And, Mark, I'm just going to throw a name out there, and as a fan, of course, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, but how about a guy like a Cardale Jones from Ohio State?
Ooh.
Sure. Why not?
Skating on thin ice
there. He's the one that got benched. He's the one that got benched, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why not? Were some very,
what do we have to lose?
There were some very racial comments said about him.
Yeah, but you mean the guy's built like a Cam Newton.
He is.
He's built like Cam Newton. He's got a rocket arm. He's played in a pro-style offense. He's played in big games. You know, who's to say the guy can't develop? You know, they've got time.
Right.
So I don't think that would be a bad pick for them.
So we gotta get moving because we only have 25 minutes left, and we gotta get through three more sports. So we're trying to do a midweek show here, so we can talk more about football.
NFL
is a lot.
Guys, let me throw more name out there for you. Let me throw one more name out there for you, Brandon Daughtry. Out of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, threw for amazing yardage and touchdowns this year in a pro-style system that's going to be available probably in the fourth round.
Yeah, if not the fifth.
What do you think about if not the fifth? Just think of this. I'm throwing that out there just for random thoughts.
Unfortunately, I don't know anything about him, so I can't say.
He's got a heck of an arm. The guy is very smart. And he lit up LSU until the fourth quarter when they shut him down. Basically,
much like Wentz, he doesn't have the competition that maybe a Goff had, but boy, the guy has some gaudy Star Wars numbers. So you never know.
He didn't have any competition either.
Just to settle that whole conversation. I mean, I think that there are guys out there that the Broncos can take a look at. So. Like NFL is king, guys, but we got other stuff to talk about. So what else you got?
NFL is always king. We do have the NBA playoffs kicking off right now, and we're in the middle of the first round. An exciting round. That's the largest average margin of victory in a number of years. I think this is hurting the NBA brand. They are now such a league of have and have nots. The good teams are great, and the bad teams are terrible. One thing that's really interesting, Cavaliers and the Pistons. Now, the Pistons are not impressive. They haven't even been in the playoffs for, what, like 6 years, 7 years? But they have gone to the end of each of the three games against the Cavaliers and almost beaten them. Now, the Cavaliers have pulled them all out, and they're up 3-0. But is this a harbinger of bad things for the Cavaliers?
No, we all saw this coming into the NBA playoffs, basically. We knew that the West was stacked, the East wasn't. But we do have to, before we go any further in basketball, we have to give our shout-out to the best shooting assassin outside of Michael Jordan. Kobe Bryant did retire this 2 weeks ago. We have to give our tip our caps to the great one, the Mamba. The Mamba out.
I'm not tipping mine.
I know you're not going to tip your cap, but you have to remember, people did not like Michael Jordan when he played. I think you forget that. Michael Jordan was a hated man around that league when he played.
That's fine. Kobe. I never said he wasn't.
Jordan was a leader. He was an asshole, but he was a leader. Kobe's no leader. Kobe's a destroyer. Kobe wouldn't even have that many titles if it wasn't for Shaq. Kobe is an overshooting Allen Iverson clone. He's a good late shot guy.
Wait, didn't Kobe win two titles without Shaq?
Three.
Right, he won two titles.
Three.
He won two without Shaq.
I think
three
Kobe
titles.
Won titles. Kobe's one of the top
he
five
he
players.
Three. He won two. He won two. He won two with Gasol.
Yeah,
that's
I'll,
it. Just two.
I'll grant you that. That's fine.
Yeah,
he still
Kobe's,
did it.
Kobe's one of the top five players of our generation, guys. There's no way around it.
He's a flat-out shooting assassin.
He's one of the top five overall scoring players. That's about all I'll say for him. He's like Carmelo Anthony. He can score a lot of points as long as he gets a ton of shots, and he's incredibly selfish and doesn't help his teammates do better. He got a little bit better at the tail end of his career when he realized that he wasn't going to go down as one of the truly greatest players. But
Carmelo doesn't hold a candle to Kobe Bryant.
Given
the supporting cast that Kobe had, Carmelo's got four titles. And Carmelo's not that good either. No, he's not. Kobe is good at making the last shot. But Kobe won his titles with incredible supporting cast. And people seem to just gloss over that. He had some of the greatest performers, especially postseason performers, in history on his team. He didn't lead Shaq.
All right, so
Big Shot Bob won a title. The Mamba's a joke. He's not that good. I'm sorry.
No. But by that standard, what you just said, Mark, now you're going to call Magic Johnson a joke because he had a great supporting cast.
His supporting cast was much better than Kobe.
Magic
Johnson teams were some of the best teams in the history of the NFL. No question. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Magic Johnson, unbelievable tandem, and they had a lot of other shooters on those teams. Great team.
Kobe had the talent.
No, I'm saying everybody gives Kobe all of the credit when he doesn't deserve it. That's the difference, is that people
don't acknowledge
the other talent on teams when they win titles. No one said that Tim Duncan is the only reason the Spurs won. Nobody, unless they're stupid, said that Jordan is the only reason the Bulls won. But everybody wants to say, well, Kobe's won. Kobe won. No, he's not. Kobe was a supporting cast player.
Wait a second.
He was a good,
Jordan,
talented player.
Jordan, Pippen,
but he was not
Rod,
the drive.
Wow, I didn't think this would be that big of a topic. I'm surprised.
I brought it up just to incite Mark.
There's nothing wrong with having talent
on your team as long as you acknowledge that other talent had as much to do with the title. You know, on those Celtic teams, it wasn't just Bird. It was McHale. It was Bird.
Just because he doesn't acknowledge it doesn't make him any less of a player.
Not that he doesn't acknowledge it. That commentators don't acknowledge it. They give him all the credit for his
win. That's not Kobe's fault.
No, I didn't say it was Kobe's fault. I said he's overrated. And that's all I said from the beginning, is that he's given way too much credit for what he did.
Let me ask you a question then. In the last 10 years, tell me five players that are better than him.
Okay.
In the last five years.
Well, Kobe was even good the last 5 years. That's pretty easy.
LeBron James.
That's what I'm saying. The last 5 years. Now, if you look at the last 10 years, it's a little bit trickier. I mean, like I said, Tim Duncan, to me, is twice the player. Now,
okay,
not
but
just
name
the score, but better players.
I just want to hear five players
over the last,
that you
over
think
the last
are
5 years. Kevin Durant.
Yeah, let's say ten. Last 10 years.
So Kevin Durant.
Okay,
LaMarcus
Kevin Durant.
Aldridge,
oh,
James
God,
Harden.
Have you seen James Harden play defense? I play defense better than he does.
Kobe's been dismantled for the last five years.
No, you're misinterpreting my question.
So
okay.
I think he hit the bubbler a little too early this morning. I think is where we're going to go with it.
Hey, I'm talking about Kobe, taking Kobe's career as an overall, you know, thing, an overall piece. In the last 5 to 10 years, what player has had a career better than him? And okay, so
are you saying
I agree.
Played the last 5 years? I still understand your question. I never said that Kobe was not a good player. I guess if he was smart. He was an overrated player.
All I'm saying is he's one of the best 5 players in the next 10, in the last 10 years, based on talent, championships, all the above. I can't think of – I mean, yeah, I think Kevin Durant's a good player, but he hasn't won any championships. LaMarcus Aldridge
just – That's fine. I won't argue with that.
Yeah.
I won't argue with that. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron,
I sure – talent.
Yeah, I'm talking raw talent and championships. That's my criteria. That makes things a little more clear.
That's a completely different argument than I was discussing. Mine was that he is overrated and given too much credit for the accomplishments he has. That's all I'm saying. Because I don't think that other players get the leeway and the passes that he gets for things. You know, and he's had unbelievable supporting cast. I can't think of any players outside of Duncan who have had, or maybe this year the Warriors, who have had as much talent around them as he has. I mean, really,
well,
even the
Bronze
Miami Heat team didn't have the kind of talent that most of his teams had. You know,
I don't know. The Spurs.
Remember those years they had Ginobili, they had Parker, and they had Duncan. But is that really better than Shaq and Robert Horry and Derek Fisher and
Kyrie?
They had David Robinson. They had Robert Horry. The Spurs had an incredible cast.
They had
Robert Horry on the last year of his career. They didn't have him for most of it. He was with the Lakers for most of his career. And then he went to the Rockets. I mean,
I know, but how many championships did Horry win in San Antonio?
5?
He did 2.
Oh, I don't know. He won at least one in San Antonio, if not 2, and he won 3 with the Lakers. So that's all I'm saying is that I just think that if you take Shaq out of the equation, Kobe is now LeBron. He's got 2 titles. And
LeBron's
that's all it comes down to for me. Right?
Yeah, okay.
LeBron's a great
right.
player. But LeBron's not going to go down. LeBron gets a ton of hate. Ton of hate.
LeBron also lost 3 times in the NBA Finals with all that talent around him. You know, with the big 3 and all the hype, he also has LeBron James has 3 losses in the finals. Remember that. As one.
Because he only has 2. Kobe has at least 2. He lost to the Pistons. He lost to the Heat. Oh, the Celtics, I mean. Excuse me. He's got 2 losses in the finals. Does that downgrade Kobe for you?
Well, he's got 5 titles.
See my point?
LeBron's 2 for 5.
Nobody ever puts any of the bad stuff on Kobe. They just give him credit.
He's
it's just weird.
Well,
because
he's
people like him.
I mean, 5 and 2, and then LeBron's 2 and 5.
Yeah, but LeBron hasn't had the talent around him for most of the time.
Are you kidding me? LeBron has brought the talent in around him.
Last year, LeBron was missing 2 of his best players. One of the seasons with the Heat, he was missing Dwayne Wade. One of the years with the Heat, he was missing Chris Bosh. And then his first year, the first time he went there with the Cavaliers, they had nothing around him but him. I mean, you're not being intellectually honest about the kind of talent level these players have.
Okay, but other than Shaq, Mark, who did he have around him? I mean,
we want to go look at the Lakers championship teams? Do we want to check out the rest of sports in the last 15 minutes, or do we want to just go and look at the rosters that Kobe had? Because you're going to be impressed by the roster they used to have.
I'm sure, but I don't think any of them were the player that Dwayne Wade was.
Right.
Dwayne Wade hurt all the time.
Dwayne Wade, when that guy plays, he is ridiculously good.
There's the whole quote right there. When he plays. How many of Kobe's star-studded, talented cast were hurt during their title runs?
I don't know the
people
answer
People just
to
don't
that.
Pay attention to everything. They just pay attention to the star. And I don't understand that. This is why the Browns are such a bad team. They pay attention to the star. They don't pay attention to the nuts and the bolts of why things are successful.
That's,
the same
like it or not, that's,
but anyway.
Like it or not, that's the society we live in. I mean, that's the way it goes.
I'm not. I'm never going to claim that our society is full of anything but idiots. But let's just go to another subject because we are going to run out of time.
Sure.
And we should talk about hockey a little bit.
Just,
I do feel bad for the Warriors that they don't have Curry, but.
Well, one second. Let's just all agree that Kobe's one of the best that's played the game.
Yeah.
Counts.
Okay.
The best. We all agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Mark,
sure.
Can you agree on that? He's a very good player.
Sure, I just said I'm not tipping my cap to him.
I know you're not going to tip your cap to him. I just want to make sure that we just acknowledge that Kobe retired and he's one of the best. So,
I acknowledge that Kobe could score a lot of points.
All right, moving on.
We're going to leave it at that. Okay, so the Cavs are up. The Pistons are probably a year or two away from giving the Cavs a run in the East. Let's look at the Warriors and Rockets right now. Steph Curry did hurt his ankle. We don't know the exact injury, what it is. They're not really disclosing it.
And that's the injury that gets him out for like 2 years.
I know it is. They're up 2-1. The question is, if they lose the next game, do you put Curry in?
I don't put him in if he's not ready to go, because if he gets hurt, you're not winning a title. And I mean, it's a good team, but not against the Spurs. You're not beating the Spurs without Stephen Curry. And by the way, I have to apologize. When we were out golfing with some friends, I did call him Stephon, I think, or Stephen Curry, and apparently that's why the Nike lost him as an endorsement, so I want to apologize for saying his name wrong. I do think it's interesting that Harden's shot was deemed a foul and shouldn't have been counted in that overtime win. So the Warriors could be up 3-0 right now without Curry.
They could be up 3-0. And remember, Draymond did dribble the ball off his leg. He had a momentary lapse of reason there. And just when he was looking at the basket, caught the ball and just bounced it off his leg. They could have won the game at the end. You could have called the foul on Harden, but he was doing that all game and they didn't call it. The refs are going to let that one go in the end. But it was a foul, technically by all terms. They could be up 3-0. We're going to find out tonight.
And let's just all agree with each other that what we're waiting for is the Spurs versus the Warriors. That's the only thing anybody wants to see this year.
Now, remember,
the Clippers
hate each other. Yeah, the Clippers, they're going to get the Clippers next. The Clippers and the Warriors hate each other. That's going to be another really – they have a really tough road to get to the finals.
The Clippers gave the Warriors all they could handle last year. In fact, weren't they up 2-1 on them?
Last
year, who up?
2-0.
I think
the
Clippers, they were either up 2-1 or 3-1 last year.
Last year.
Oh, yeah. And that's when Steph Curry got caught fire and then just went nuts.
It is. But the Clippers are no slouch. They're
going to
be a force to reckon with. You guys, just real quick on the basketball note, I have a feeling that this is LeBron's year. I think that the regular season took a toll on the Warriors. And they've had a lot of luck on their side as well with injuries, even though Steph is hurt right now. I think that Spurs series, those guys are just going to beat each other to a pulp. By the time that series is over, they're going to be a shadow of themselves, whoever comes out of that with the title. I think LeBron and his boys have an easy road. They're not even playing at 100% right now. They're playing just good enough to win the game. It's obvious. In the fourth quarter,
if the Cavaliers have their big three, they're gonna be tough. They didn't even have that at all last year. So.
I think it's their year. If they stay healthy, they have to stay healthy. But if Curry
is hurt and somebody ends up knocking off the Spurs, then I think it's an easy title. But those two things have to happen.
But I mean, the Thunder are no slouch either.
The West is stacked. I mean, they're going to beat themselves up. It's just going to come down to that.
Those top four teams are really good. the Clippers, the Thunder, obviously the Warriors and the Spurs. But I think they're just going to beat each other to a pulp, and it's, you know,
they are.
They're going to come out of that,
so,
like,
we are
riddle.
Getting, we are getting real, we're getting real, real low on time here. Real quick with the NHL.
Yep.
Sharks eliminated the Kings 4-1. Kings were the title winners last year, is that right?
No, 2 years ago.
2 years ago,
This was the Blackhawks last year?
Blackhawks last year. My Flyers did an amazing thing, went into Washington and beat, shut them out 2-0 to go back to Philly, down 3-2 in a best-of-seven series. With Neubirth in goal, they pulled Mason. Neubirth stood on his head last night, making 44 saves. 44 saves on 44
shots. Were they down 1-0 or 3-0 at one point?
They were down 3-0 in the series. They could now come back to win two in a row. They go back to Philly tomorrow morning. It's going to be a noon game, so 10 a.m. our time, Mountain Time.
Dude, you got to send me a reminder that I'm going to watch that game. Send me a text message because I got to watch that game. That's a big game.
Last night's game started out with two big hits and a fight, and it set the tone for the whole night, and I can't wait to see that. You know, the playoff ratings are down in Canada because there's no teams in Canada.
Do you think that has something to do with the fact that they've lost so many Canadian teams have been moved to America?
No, it's because there's no Canadian teams in the playoffs, is why it is. They're not going to watch.
The other strange thing about hockey is there isn't a casual fan with hockey.
No,
you know, with the NBA baseball, there's no casual fans. I mean, I think I might be one of the exceptions to the rule. I don't watch hockey. I love playoff hockey. I don't watch a lot of it, but when I do, I love it. Some of the top players in the NBA, I mean, I enjoy watching LeBron and Steph play, but, boy,
Avalanche be competitive. It made hockey really fun. So, I mean, I do understand why. I mean, I love live hockey. I'm not a big fan of television hockey, but live hockey. It's amazing.
Awesome, Mark. It is awesome.
So we're down to like 3 minutes here. We got to go over baseball real quick.
Let's talk about Arrieta's no hitter.
Yeah, so that was amazing. Guy had four walks and was not pitching well, but he got a no hitter.
And he got a no-hitter.
Yeah,
think about it. They scored 16 runs in a no-hitter.
16 runs?
Second most all-time, JP. The most since 1900. So, really,
The Cubs right now are sitting at a 67-run differential in the positive. That's a lot for a month into the season.
Cubs are looking nasty. But I'll tell you what.
The Jets can have a 300-run differential at the end of the year.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Let's just mention the Rockies are in second place behind the Dodgers
now. Hey, Rockies.
Hey, we got to give a shout-out to the Rockies. Even though we know that down the stretch they're gonna slide down that good old Hershey Highway and forget about it.
And I do need to call out my co-host for telling me how bad the Dodgers were going to be this year. They're pretty much running that division. They're the only team in the West with a positive run differential.
Going to be bad.
They're looking like they wasted a lot of money. They are not looking good. Giants are not scoring.
I want to correct
neither
you.
Are
I
the
said
Blue Jays for that matter.
Dodgers and Giants.
It's 3 weeks. I'm going to find you talk about the Dodgers in previous shows that I'm going to repost it. Also, we want to bring up the Blue Jays, who can't score any runs for some reason this year. They just lost Chris Colabello for 80 games for PED use, and he was using something called dehydrochloromethotestosterone. So whatever that is, we got to get some of that. But he's gone for a while.
All right, guys, we got to get off the air. We want to thank everybody for listening. This is a great show. We're going to repost another show real soon.
Yeah,
thanks
great
for listening,
show, guys.
Go Black
we
Mamba.
Will
Black Mamba.
Mamba out.
We will see it. Mamba out. This is the Sports. Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We're out. Oh, my God.
Hey, we can still hear you. Are we still being recorded? Am I the only one?